going along saying the secret was loving your husband with the love of Christ, and then one morning you got up feeling sort of heavy all over and cross and irritable, and you went out to the breakfast table, and all you could think about was some way to get rid of him permanently. Let alone the signature. It was a very loud amen from over here. Never mind binding him with cords of love. Let's just see what we can do to get rid of the situation in town. You woke up with a headache, and you took that to the Lord, and you decided that you were going to have victory this day in spite of this little hammer pounding in your head. Looks exactly like the TV commercials. You know they're true, aren't they? That door that opens up and you see the hammer in there. You've had it, haven't you? And you get up feeling that way, and you think, now, Lord, I'm going to have victory anyway. But you go out in the kitchen, and as you start the coffee, you burn your finger, and you go put the butter on the table, and somehow your thumb rams into it. You don't know just exactly what happened, but your thumb's in the butter. And you go to pour the orange juice, and you miss the glass about that far. And then your husband appears in the doorway in his undershirt with his tie carefully knotted around his bare neck. And all of a sudden, you remember that you folded down the shirts and put them in the freezer and forgot to iron them. And the baby starts to cry, and so you do too. And all you know, you just start to wail. Has this ever happened to you? Well, this is a place where the love of Christ is too much. And you snap out with something like, well, if I have a little cooperation around here, maybe I can get something done on time, and so on and so forth. Every human being is subject to moods. And we women don't have a corner on this, but we have peculiar sorts of moods that are peculiar to us. And we're known for our inconsistent and variable emotions, aren't we? We have moods in connection with our adolescence, and in connection with pregnancy, and in connection with menopause, and then just to keep things humming in between. Every month, we have these premenstrual moods. Now, today, I would like, first of all, to examine these moods that are peculiar to us as women and see what conclusion we can come to about them, see what their relation is to our spiritual lives, and then what we can do about them. Now, this has a direct bearing on the husband-wife relationship, doesn't it? On the spiritual unity between you and your husband. You come to this class on Wednesday, and you hear us talking about loving them with the love of Christ, and it all sounds pretty plausible to you. But you go home and let a week or 10 days pass, and all of a sudden you are down so far that you have to reach up to touch bottom. And you think about the Wednesday class and this woman that stands up here telling you to smile all the time, and you're spoiling for a fight. And I'm not there to fight with, so you fight with your husband. Well, now some of what we're going to talk about today, I'm going to take up in more detail later when we get into the section on physical unity with your husband. And when we get into the section on sex education for our children, we will more thoroughly examine just what our body functions have to do with our emotions. But today we're interested in our moods because they are spoiling the spiritual unity between us and our husbands, and they're bringing us down into defeat in our effort to love with the love of Christ too often. Now, every woman from adolescence to the menopause has periodic ups and downs. Some of the time the world is beautiful, and no matter what the challenge is, you're sure you can meet it. And if one of the children breaks out in a rash, well, it's just chicken pox. But other times of the month, if one of them breaks out in a rash, you're sure it's a seven-year itch. I read an excellent article lately in the Family Circle magazine on monthly moods by a woman named Maxine Davis, and perhaps you've read her articles before. And this was such a tremendous help to me in understanding myself that I thought I would pass on to you as much as I could in brief form some of the information she gave. We like to think that when we're feeling serene and happy and everything is going well, that this is our normal disposition, and that when we wake up irritable and cross and feeling heavy and discouraged, that this is not normal. Well, actually, both phases are normal. That's the first thing we need to realize. And it all has to do with the reproductive cycle in the woman's body, and both phases of it are normal. Now, these changes in emotional well-being in the woman are triggered by two female hormones. One's called estrogen and one's called progesterone, if that matters to you. You won't remember it 5 minutes from now. It doesn't make any difference. But the cyclical increasing and decreasing of these two hormones in the woman's body is the thing that causes the seesaw that she lives on from the time she starts her reproductive age, along about 12, up to her menopause. Now, briefly, it's just that these hormones are produced or secreted by the ovaries every month at a high level when the egg or the little ovum is maturing in the ovary. And as it ruptures from the ovary and passes into the fallopian tube and goes down toward the uterus, ready for conception. Now, at that time, that period of a couple of weeks in there, when this is taking place, you might call this the springtime of the cycle. The body is getting ready for conception, getting ready for the nurturing of the egg in case it is fertilized. And during this time, these hormones are produced at this high level, and you have this feeling of well-being, everything is fine, you're steady, you're sure of yourself, you're serene. Nothing is too much for you. Then, if conception does not take place, and the little ovum dies and eventually is passed on out through the process of menstruation, at this point, there is a drop in the production of these two hormones. And you might call this the fall of the cycle, springtime and fall. Actually, it sort of represents a failure in nature, see, to produce what it meant to produce, and it's sort of a sad or a sorrowful time. And it's in this phase, usually anywhere from 2 weeks, sometimes starting as early as 2 weeks before the menstrual period, but usually about a week to 10 days before it begins gradually. And this is the time when the woman gradually moves forward into the doldrums. Well, with the beginning of menstruation then, immediately you feel better, don't you? And the cycle begins again. The body again begins to get ready for springtime, for producing, you see, and it all begins over again. Then if conception does not take place, the egg is cast off and we mourn again a little bit in the body, you see. And the period of fall, you might call it, begins. Now, there is a scriptural answer to you as a woman for this seesaw existence. But always in the scripture and in the Christian life, it's very practical, isn't it? When you pray, the Lord means for you to put legs on your prayers as far as you're able. That is, he says, I will supply your needs. Don't take any thought about what you eat or drink, but you remember the very sharp warning that Paul gave to those that wouldn't work. He said, they won't work, don't let them eat. If you ask the Lord for food, he expects you to work to produce it if you're able. If there is any command in the Word of God that he gives you, he expects you to make the effort of your will and your energy toward doing that. Then he gives you what is necessary of his grace. He supplies the power that is needed in order to carry it out. So first of all, let's look at this very practically and see if we can understand exactly what is going on in our body and what the symptoms are that are produced. And once you understand the symptoms that go with this and understand what's taking place in your body, half the battle's already won, you see? Now, because the ovaries are all tied up in the endocrine system, they're part of the endocrine system, they have an effect on other bodily functions during this time. And one thing that takes place during this fall period, the time when the level of the hormones is at its lowest, is also a slight, maybe ever so slight, drop in blood sugar. Now, the blood sugar level in the body is very important. Now, I'm not talking about just the spoonful of sugar that you eat. I'm talking about the blood sugar level in your body. And because of this slight drop in blood sugar level, the woman at this time may feel a craving for sweets. She may have an increased thirst and appetite. And her firm and steady fingers may become shaky. Now, has this happened to you? You don't have to mark the calendar. You can just about tell when you start to drop the milk bottle when you pick it up and you go to try to push down on the table and you hit the edge of the table instead of staying firmly on the table where you meant to. You break more dishes, you spill more things during this premenstrual period than you do at any other time. this is only temporary, of course, this slight drop in blood sugar. And it's only one factor in the whole situation of the hormone imbalance at the time. But the symptoms, if you know what they are and can understand them, they're common to most of us. Now, as I read this list of symptoms, you won't all, well, no one in here, I hope, has them all. If you do, you need to be in the hospital. But probably you'll recognize, as I read them off, one here and there that is common with you. Also, the fact that no two of us are alike, and that even you yourself may vary from month to month in your response to the hormonal imbalance that takes place at this time. And this depends on what's happening, you know, what your routine is at the time, or whether you're sick or well, or outside conditions that have to bear on it, the way you can respond to it month after month. Now, Mrs. Davis lists some of these symptoms that may take place during this premenstrual phase. Now, here we are. First, she says, a placid person can become irritable, cranky, and mean. A woman's sense of humor is just not the same. It might be funny one morning if your husband walked out in his undershirt with his tie carefully knotted. And you go off into hysterical laughter over this, but don't let him do this a couple of days before you're ready to menstruate. It's even funny, is it? Another time, a zipper may jam or the cape may fall, and you can take this in your stride. But for a cape to fall or for the zipper to jam at this time, can just carry you right away into grief. You can't bear it. The woman may become exceptionally talkative, rattling along until she bores everybody into a coma. This is mine. You think I talk a great deal anyway, but you should hear me. Never stop. Perpetual motion. A demure, pleasant girl may become annoyingly aggressive, suddenly turning bossy and brassy, surprising her whole family. A woman usually blessed with inner calm and security may carry a chip on her shoulder, or she may grieve over real or imagined sins at this time. Most women find it hard to concentrate during this period. The tidiest, most systematic girl may lose her car keys or misplace things and lay her purse down. She's always careful with her purse, but this time she may lose it. If you're a secretary, you may have to avoid this time sending out the bills because somehow you make mistakes. You don't know how, but if you do it during this period, you make mistakes that you can't even realize you've made. You may have difficulty making decisions. You also wear the green dress or wear the navy dress, and you stand there at the closet and you just can't make up your mind. Or you go out to shop and you may have a list of what you want to get, and you go to all the stores and you look at it all, but you can't make up your mind. You come home without anything. If you're driving, you may not be able to decide which lane to stay in. This causes a great many accidents, and this is why men are generally less women driving, you know. But it's true. You watch yourself. You're waiting from one lane to the other sometimes. Well, shall I go over here? No, I think I'll go over here. And then suddenly you turn the corner. You just decided at the last minute. Anxiety and depression are common. You find yourself weeping a river of tears over something that you have to do that you've done 100 times and you've always done it successfully and well, but now all of a sudden you're sure you can't do it at all. Fatigue is one of the worst manifestations. Now, this may vary from just tiring more easily than usual to a real fatigue. You get up in the morning, you feel like you've got 50-pound weights tied on your hands and your feet. And sometimes it borders on the point of sheer exhaustion. A woman is just incapacitated during this time. She simply cannot get up and carry on her duties. Now, it doesn't make sense that a woman at this time may suddenly become very active. Everything has gone wrong all day. She's weary, she's exhausted, she's nervous, she's irritable. This ought to be the time when she calls it a day and waits for a new day tomorrow, but no, right now is when she decides that she has to clean the attic. Or she has to vacuum down all the walls, or she has to wax all the floors. And in this state of near exhaustion, she'll drive herself to do some great big chore that she's been waiting for 6 months maybe to do. Now, she may gain weight, anywhere from 2 to 10 pounds. And this is very disillusioning when you're counting calories, isn't it? The reason this happens is because excess fluid is retained in the body at this time. The breasts may become swollen or tender, or the abdomen may become distended and full. An increase in fluid in the cells of the brain may bring on headaches. If there's enough of it, may bring on severe headaches, even migraine headaches of some types are caused by this. Sometimes it localizes in the skin. It may cause itching or breaking out. Also, the hormones at this time have an effect on the sebaceous glands of the skin, and you get a breaking out, an early breaking out from that. Allergic reactions are more acute at this time, such as asthma, hay fever, food allergies, and so on. We're in bad shape, aren't we? Now, of course, no one has all those. Each of us may have one or two or none of them. And, of course, they come on gradually. Beginning about 2 weeks before your menstrual period, they come on very gradually and are only intense, really, just a few days or maybe even a day before the menstrual flow starts. If your symptoms are severe, you ought to see a doctor about it. If you gain a great deal of weight or if you have severe headaches, the doctor can help you in this. There are some things you can do to help yourself. You can cut down on your fluid intake at this time and cut down on your salt, which helps hold the fluid in your body. If it's very severe, there's a drug the doctor can give you to help you eliminate fluids from your body. And as far as the drop in blood sugar is concerned, if this is a real problem with you, so that you get very shaky or very unsteady at this time, Mrs. Davis suggests that you try a simple, a couple of ounces of cheese and about 5 ounces of milk between meals and at bedtime. And this will bring the level of the blood sugar back up to where it belongs. Now, simply to know what is occurring helps you, doesn't it? To realize that you're not losing your mind and that you're not haven't lost your contact with the Lord. That's the main thing that bothers us. We feel like we're spiritually defeated when we feel these moods coming on. Now, of course, all your moods aren't due to premenstrual tension, are they? Because men have moods too, don't they? But the thing that I want you to see is that so often moods have their root in a physical condition rather than a spiritual condition. Now, don't take a lot of comfort in that. And if you think that I am telling you all of this to give you comfort in your moods, you're mistaken. You're just simply trying to understand our moods, first of all. And then there are not many of us, really, that are spiritual enough to discern which moods are from the physical cause and which moods really have their root in the spiritual cause. For instance, if you're in a blue mood right now, let me ask you a question. Would $1,000 help it? If I gave you a check for $1,000, would things suddenly be all right? Well, now let's trace the source of this mood. Are you worried about bills? Is Christmas coming up and you don't have any money to meet it with? Or have you already gone on a spending spree and you know the bills are coming due in January and you shouldn't? Are you being anxious over things that God has told you you should not be anxious over? Then the root of this mood is worry, isn't it? Either worry because you have legitimate bills that you can't meet, or a guilty conscience because you spent money that you shouldn't have and you knew better. So the root of that mood, you may not be feeling too well the time you have this mood, but don't blame it on that. You've done something wrong, you see, and that's the root of this mood. Are you covetous? Are you in a sullen mood because you're always seeing something that you want and you don't have? Somebody else always has something that you need, or you've been doing it out so long and you really shouldn't have to, and you sort of keep your husband over a financial barrel all the time trying to meet your needs, in quotes, your needs. And your sullen mood is due not to any physical condition, but to covetousness. Are you cross because someone has stepped on your rights? Or you aren't being ministered to the way you think you should be? You aren't being recognized for your efforts? Or your husband isn't paying enough attention to the fact that you are loving him with the love of Christ? Well, this is self. This is not a physical cause at all. This is sin again. Now, what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to sit down all day long and figure out why we're in the mood? Is it sin or is it physical? No, I don't think you need to pay attention to it at all. Because the remedy is the same. Let's find out what we can about it. First of all, I would like to point out two things that would give you equilibrium here. The first one is that God is infinitely tender and understanding of our weaknesses. You remember in Psalm 103, he says that just as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knoweth our frame. He remembers that we're dust. Now, when you have a child that's missed a nap and has a cold and isn't feeling too well and is cross and cranky, you're understanding of that child, aren't you? You know exactly why they're behaving the way they do. And God, as our Father, has that same understanding of our physical weaknesses and our emotional weaknesses. He was tender with Elijah, you remember, the strong man of God who turned tail and ran at a woman, Jezebel. She said, I'm going to kill you, and he ran from her out in the desert and sat down under a juniper tree and moped. And the Lord said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He said, well, everybody's turned against you, and I'm the only one that's left. I'm the only one you have left. And God said to him, go stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. A great strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. Now, what can we learn from this? When you're caught in the grip of a mood, go stand before the Lord. Go to the Lord and stay there until the storm passes over and you're conscious of the still, small voice of the Lord speaking to you and quieting your heart. Then the second thing I want us to learn is that the Word of God always speaks to our will, not to our feelings. Never, never rely on the thermometer of your feelings to measure your spiritual walk with the Lord. It's the deep, sure current of your life in God which gives direction, not the little waves that are picked up on the surface. We are called upon to act without regard to our moods. And you may have all sorts of feelings, premenstrual or otherwise, no matter what has brought on your mood. And this is true of men, too, anything that brings on a mood. You may have a mood, but God's Word calls upon us to act without regard to our mood. He never intended that we should live a miserable up and down existence. Oswald Chambers says, moods do not go by praying, they go by kicking. We have to take ourselves by the scruff of the neck and shake ourselves. And we'll find that we can do what we said we could not. The curse with most of us is that we won't. Now, the Word of God tells us, rejoice always, doesn't it? And it says also, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now, the same God who made your endocrine system that gets off balance and causes this premenstrual tension said to you, rejoice always. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And the Amplified says, at all times and under all conditions. It does not have a little clause down there that says, let the peace of God rule in your heart, except, of course, that week before your period when you're so upset. It makes no distinction at all. Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 35 to 39, tells us that nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. I want to read that to you out of the book. Can anything separate us from the love of Christ? Can trouble, pain, or persecution? Can lack of clothes and food, danger to life and limb, the threat of force of arms? Indeed, some of us know the truth of that ancient text, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things we win an overwhelming victory through him who has proved his love for us. I have become absolutely convinced that neither death nor life, neither messenger of heaven nor monarch of earth, neither what happens today nor what may happen tomorrow, neither a power from on high nor a power from below, nor anything nothing else in God's whole world has any power to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, there are two aspects to that. One is that his love constantly holds you. Nothing can separate you from his love. But there's also a command in this portion of Scripture that says that we are not to be separated from the love of Christ. That is, nothing is to stop the flow of the love of Christ through us at any time or under any circumstance. Shall tribulation stop it? Or distress? Or persecution? Or famine? And Phillips translates it, lack of clothes and food, your grocery bills, the clothes you need and don't have, the many needs of your small family of children. Can any of these things, are they supposed to stop the flow of the love of Christ through you? He says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Now, the third thing that I want to point out is this. It's that part that says we are more than conquerors. You remember that we said the love of Christ is not irritable. It's not provoked. It isn't provoked to anger. It's calm and peaceful. It doesn't think of itself. It doesn't get upset. All right? When you make up your mind that you're going to yield yourself to the love of Christ, you are able to live that way. That is, you are able in a mood to go on and act with the love of Christ. But then something wonderful takes over and happens. You've conquered the mood in the love of Christ and in his power. But something wonderful happens. All of a sudden, you're more than conquered. The mood has gone. Now, what I'm telling you is this, that you can cease to be a woman of moods. And I don't mean to stand and tell you that I never get depressed, or that I never get shaky or nervous or anything of that sort. I'm just telling you that the power of Jesus Christ in you can change you from a vacillating, emotional sort of person into a steady, calm, serene woman. And this is the kind of woman you're supposed to be. You're not supposed to be up and down, up and down, up and down. As you yield yourself to the rich grace of God, his life flows through you. And what is the life of Christ? In him is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, neither shadow made by turning, that means really. In Jesus Christ, there is no vacillation. He's always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ the same. And his life is flowing through you. This means that we women can walk in our everyday lives through all sorts of moods, through sickness. Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Job, in his persecutions and his illness, his patience was not that he had such a calmness of disposition. He complained about his sores and the way he felt. He even cursed the day he was born. But through it all, we know that he hung on to God firmly. He did not give up at all for one moment. His firm faith in the fact that God was working in and through him and knew what he was doing. Now, regardless of your circumstance, day by day, what you're walking through, regardless of the way you feel when you get up in the morning, or whatever physical cause is bringing pressure to bear on your disposition, the Word of God teaches that the life of Christ in us can walk serenely through it, and you can have a change of disposition. I know this is so. It is true. And you can walk so serenely along that the calendar will sneak up on you. You won't know when you're supposed to be having that premenstrual tension, unless you drop the butter or something. I haven't found that does anything for the fact that I'm always spilling things. But I don't sit down in the middle of them and cry anymore, the way I used to. The calendar will sneak up on you because you are so serene at all times, even under pressure. The life of God is taking over and flowing through you in calmness and serenity. Our Father, we realize that this is a much bigger problem in some women than it is in others. We realize that sometimes there's real illness involved. But so much of the time it's just the fact that we do not yield moment by moment to thy peace, which is there, and thou hast commanded us to let it rule in our hearts. And instead of letting the peace of God rule, we let our irritable dispositions rule. Or the fact that we're not feeling well physically, we let this rule. And thou hast commanded us to let thy peace rule at all times and under all conditions. Thou hast told us that when we're weak, then you'll be strong in us. We realize that thou hast let these things happen to us of thy own knowledge, thou didst make our bodies. And we realize that it's an opportunity to let us know the grace of God, which can do in us what we cannot do of ourselves. I pray that thou wilt teach us, that thou wilt teach me, the magnitude of the life of Christ, which can flow in us at all times and take over moment by moment to produce in us the serene life of the Lord Jesus Christ, his peace, his joy, flowing out from us to others. We thank thee for the provision that thou hast made in thy love for this. We pray that as we enter this Christmas season, that thou wilt do a work in our hearts in this way. This season when we are so rushed, so hurried, we have so much to do, so many extra things to look after. We pray that thou wilt prove thyself to us in this instance now, through this Christmas holiday, that we might walk calmly before thee, that we might be connected to thee inwardly all the time, even as we hurry and scurry, that there might be sweet, unbroken communion between us and between thee, that we might walk in thy strength and thy peace through the hurried days. We will thank thee for this. In Jesus' name, amen.